welcome to episode number 211 of the Applelaw Podcast. I'm your host, Simon Head. Today's podcast is brought to you in part by BetterHelp.com. Get affordable private online counseling anytime, anywhere. You can talk with a licensed professional therapist online now. You know, this is a better way to do it because it's discreet. You get to speak with somebody immediately, and you can choose when you want to do it. It's a good time to do this now, and you can get a 7-day trial with the code word Applelaw when you go to BetterHelp.com/Applelaw. I'd like to thank everybody for helping me out and shopping on Amazon. You too can support the show this way by going to applelaw.ca/Amazon or applelaw.ca/US Amazon. You can do it the old-fashioned way too by going to applelaw.ca and clicking on those banners located on the right side. You can locate your country, bookmark those links, and every time you shop on Amazon, use the links to shop and support the show, and it costs you no extra money. I'd like to thank everybody for supporting me on Patreon. You can also go to Patreon and support the show and myself, and you can go to patreon.com/Applelaw. You can pledge as much or as little as you want on a monthly basis to help with hosting and gas fees. You can cancel anytime. Want to buy a t-shirt? Go to applelaw.ca/shop. Want to contact me? applelaw.ca/contact. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes, please. Give it 5 stars. It really, really helps things out by going, just searching out on iTunes. It's good. And like the show on Facebook by going to facebook.com/applelawpod. Follow me on Twitter at SimonHead666. Today on the show, I have a dear old friend. He's not old. No, he's a dear, but he's a dear old friend, Mr. Dave Smalley, who's originally in Deg Nasty, DYS, All. He's sang in a band. He has a band called Down by Law, and he has a new band right now called Dave Smalley and the Bandoleros. And I'm going to play a song right now. His song is called Join the Outsiders. Here it comes. We'll be right back. That's Join the Outsiders. The band is called Dave Smalley and the Bandoleros, and you can get that on Little Rocket Records. It's a great record. It's an amazing record. Sounds amazing. Sounds fresh, and it sounds good. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, here is my dear old friend, Mr. Dave Smalley, on the Apologue Podcast. Here it comes. You look good. You look healthy. You look happy.
You too.
Where are you living? Where are you right now?
I am in Virginia. So
still,
Still, yeah. I mean, I grew up in Virginia, and then I moved to Boston. Well, I guess, you know, I've got that checkered, weird history, like a lot of Americans do, where we really are bouncing around a lot. You know, I think it's a very American thing. Like, I think it's probably similar in Canada, but I feel like, in my world travels, a lot more people stay in at maybe two places. You know, like if they're from somewhere in the Netherlands, they grow up in their small town and then they move to Amsterdam, let's say, and then they stay in Amsterdam for the rest of their lives, which is great. That's just a different style. But Americans, because maybe it's because we're such a young country and we're still acting like a bunch of adolescence or something, you know, as a nation, right? But yeah, we all bounce around and go all over the place. So I was born in California, you know, grew up in Virginia, lived in France, back to D.C., up to Boston, to Israel, to California for all, you know, like, yeah, you know, it's, and that's not atypical. You know, there's a lot of people that.
Yeah, I do notice that because, well, I mean, we kind of have in Canada too, where in Toronto, it doesn't really have a lot, but there's a big move out to Alberta at one point because there was lots of work. So people would just migrate out there to work in the oil fields and work with, you know, to work in that vein. And then that dried up. So then people started moving in different directions. And there is that sort of nomad recklessness of like going to find, going where the work is, you know, and. But in America, there's more opportunities.
Canada also has a huge frontier tradition, like America.
Yeah,
you know, and cowboys and all that stuff. You know.
Yeah.
So there's similar, you know, there's similar movements to uncharted territories in our shared cultures and everything. Yeah. So
America has so many cool, like little pockets of opportunity or just groups of people, you know what I mean? There's more of it, obviously, because there's a bigger population. But like when I moved to Winnipeg, and that was sort of a cool thing to do because nobody moves to Winnipeg. But there's sort of like you have all sorts of cool, neat spots like that in America, like Austin and Santa Cruz, and like there's neat spots, and even like Destin, Florida, which is sort of like it's typically it feels like somewhere it has its own community, you know?
Right. Yeah, I agree. But I think every place is like that. I mean, in the whole world, like there's always cool spots that you don't expect. I'm trying to think of like I feel like there are some that are just like not popping to mind. If you gave me each country and I thought about it and recollected parts of it, I could always remember a part where, you know, I was just absolutely blown away by some thing in that town or. Like one of my favorite memories of my whole life was traveling on a train from, I want to say it was, I don't remember where we were going, where we were. It was with my family, and we were traveling through the Austrian Alps on a train. And it was just utterly, spectacularly beautiful. Just, and it was very, like, Sound of Music, you know, and just totally beautiful and peaceful and majestic and just great, you know, and I always remember that feeling of just like, I know this is a very special moment and, you know, special environment.
Yeah, I find that too. Like there's certain parts of when I was on tour where you'd be driving and it's like 6 o'clock and the sun's coming up and you're the only one driving, you're the only one awake and you kind of look around and you're experiencing something for the first time. It's the new day. There's a lot of symbolism involved, you know, like,
yes,
you know, everybody's asleep. You're the safety person. You're the one driving and you see, well, you're driving across the prairies, which is inherently is kind of sucks. But when you're doing it after driven from, say, Regina to Calgary or something, it's like a whole other world, you know what I mean? It's pretty awesome. It's pretty special. Yeah. Yeah, I had a lot of special times. Actually, my very first tour, you know this, but the very first tour I ever did was opening for Down by Law. Well, the first music tour was
right.
that Canadian right. tour. Yeah, yeah.
I did know that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's quite an honor. That is, I mean, for me, thank you.
No, yeah. No, believe me, the honor was all mine because that was the first time I'd ever like played in a band where we actually left our town, you know, and to have you guys take us under your wing, that was kind of an awesome experience because you guys had been doing it for a while, you know, at that point, and you know, and we were new, and it must have been kind of neat seeing like guys like us like doing it for the first time, going like, oh, look at them, they're just living this like for the first time, you know, like.
It is neat, and it's important because there's two things I think that are important. One is you owe it to other folks to help spread the joy and the message and the you know the excitement and all of that. You owe it to pass that torch along. So that's one part of that, and the other is. You owe it to yourselves to never get jaded and not appreciate it. And so when you see a younger band, you know, doing something and having that same sense of enthusiasm that you once had that you might have started to forget, you know, because it becomes, you know, second nature to you after a certain point, mm-hmm. It's important to not get jaded or not get lazy, you know. So working with younger bands and artists and being nice to, you know, young fans is all, it's a dual win, right? Like it's a win for the person or people that are, you know, being helped. And then it's the other side is reinvigorating yourself with your own ideals.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And, you know, to look back at your career and your musical journey for since the early 80s, there's a large scope of being a young man to a, you know, to not a young man, you know, it's the stuff you learn along the way. It could easily make you jaded. You could easily say, well, I don't want to do stuff like that anymore. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? And in my opinion, I don't, from what I've seen, you kind of still just put records out and you play music and you have a same love for it that I think, you know, I mean, things change, right? Priority wise.
Yeah. So it is interesting because I see bands like, let's just take a band that's not in my genre. Let's take like an 80s hair metal band. And I won't even, I don't want to say anyone in particular because I don't know the people and I don't know their motivations, but there are some 80s hair metal bands that had a brief flash, right?
Yeah.
And then they fizzled out for whatever reason. And they don't keep going because, you know, there's this sort of stigma of, you know, oh, well, I was playing, you know, a stadium or I was playing a big, huge, you know, huge clubs and selling them out. And now I can't do that anymore, they say. But to me, that infers that they were never in it for the music. They were in it for glory and money and other things. That the unique thing, I think, about punk rock is that it was always about, or at least for me, I think there are some people, unfortunately, who are doing it right now for money, but mm-hmm. I was never doing it for money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course that shows in my, you know, struggles and, you know, paying the electric bill or whatever, but, you know, that's okay because, you know, it was never about, can you sell another 20,000-30,000 records? It was always about, is that song great? Or does that motivate you? Or let's do it no matter if nobody likes it. You know, that was, you know, and it's funny. And when you do that, when you follow your own heart, I mean, we have a song on Blue, on the album Blue, called Our Own Way. And it's a slow song that nobody in 1993 or whenever that record came out, you know, was doing. No one. You know, in a punk band. Mm-hmm. And we did it because we loved it and we wanted to do it. You know, we're Down by Law as musicians and we wanted to do it. And, you know, Sam plays amazing guitar and I could sing. Or was that Chris Bagarozzi at that point, I guess? Yeah. But anyway, the point being, we were always musicians, right?
Yeah.
Like from beginning, Dave Naz, great drummer. You know, Ed Ehrlich, phenomenal bass player. And we just did what we wanted to do and weren't motivated by money or anything else. And sometimes that's to your detriment, you know, and people who have a plan, and I do think there are some punk bands today that are calculated and in a rut and doing their thing just for money, and that's okay too. If that's what motivates them, if that's what gets them out of bed, that's fine.
Yeah, I like, you know, you're true. The fact that you're saying just staying true to yourself makes you write better songs. It makes you have better understanding. It also keeps you closer to the people you write music for. You know, it really just keeps you in that spot where, like, who? I mean, that's all the old cliche, but you can't write blues in an air-conditioned room. It's the same idea. You need to have something, a conflict of sort to perhaps keep you motivated in a way, but also you need to celebrate whatever the good part of what life is as well. Like, who said punk rock needs to be angry and mad and, you know what I mean? It doesn't need to be, you know, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's the energy and the independence is always what was my motivating factor. I was never motivated by, you know, politics or any of that kind of stuff. That just didn't resonate with me. So for me, you know, and that's an interesting thing too, and that I think also distinguishes Down by Law, for instance, from other bands that are in our genre and maybe in our same, you know, time frame of existence. But so a lot of people got into punk, you know, like the classic thing, or learn three chords, form a band, right? And that was like the original mantra of punk in the 70s, right? And that's totally cool, and I love that, and some of the greatest groups came from that mantra. However, there were a lot of bands that had longtime musicians in the band, and that was Down by Law for sure. You know, Down by Law came from me growing up singing in church choirs and musicals and learning, you know, how to sing from your diaphragm and, you know, learning how to harmonize and how to view a song visually almost rather than just, you know, audio. And then, you know, Sam grew up, he was one of those kids that would come home from junior high school and pick up his guitar. Instead of doing his homework, he'd be playing Eddie Van Halen leads for, you know, 5 hours. And, you know, so Down by Law was a very, you know, particularly its incarnation right now, very much a musician's band, you know. Like, it's a cut above other bands. That doesn't mean we're better. It just means different. You know, musically, it's a musician's band.
Yeah. Yeah, and you always had good people around you. There's always, like, you know, playing in a band with Dave Nasworthy and Ed Ehrlich must have just been a complete trip, because those guys have been in a band before with each other that they had it so dialed in. But then, you know, your band evolved. Yeah. I mean, you did more stuff, like, after your first album, you did more, like you said, branching out into different music styles, and what I liked about it is you didn't really care to be judged. You know, if that you know what I mean? It's like, we're going to do it, because we like to do it.
You just can't, you know, you gotta, you know, to quote a Down by Law title, but you gotta fly the flag, you know, just be yourself. And so, yeah, if you do it as a musician, I think, in my own little, you know, little vision, I think if you do it as a musician rather than for money, at the end of the day, whether you got money or not didn't matter. Whether you were a good musician or not matters, and if you were, then you can just kind of sleep at night.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like that you said that, because, you know, I had a band in the early 2000s, and we had records, and people were like, you guys could get a publishing deal, and this could happen. All you need to do is lose 30 pounds and learn how to sing. And it was like, ugh, you know what I mean? You're like, oh, okay, you know, and for the better part, I kind of listened to people, because it was like I was 30-something years old, and it's like someone said, that's what you got to do, and I tried it, but at the end of it all, it's like all I had to do is I have to sleep with myself at night, and I have to answer to my own decisions I made in life and make in life, and I don't regret telling certain people in the Canadian music industry to go fuck themselves. I really don't. I you know what I mean? Because that's what it was about for me. And it was like, I, you know, and when Canada, I mean, you think about what happened in the the image based industry back then, a 30-year-old couldn't put a record out in Canada, couldn't be arrested in Canada or America for that fact to but Europe was calling, and you know what I mean? And so, I mean, how, yeah. as a, you know, actually sort of as a 30 something year old man putting out a record, did you find much of that? Did anybody tell you stuff like that?
Well, I'm not sure if I'm following what you're asking. Like, did people tell me to do certain things in order to be successful?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe. I mean, but I was just, I think we had some success, to whatever degree we've had success has been actually very fortunate and blessed because we just were ourselves and really couldn't be anybody else. And that's, I think, the reason why Down by Law is known and hopefully respected, you know, is because no matter what, people are going to say, yeah, I love those guys because, and they know that Down by Law is a distinct group. It doesn't sound like Bad Religion. It doesn't sound like, you know, The Offspring or whatever. Choose your big band. Mm-hmm. DBL definitely has its own thing. Yeah. And those are the bands for me that I like, you know, for your frame of reference, of course, would be SNFU.
Yeah.
Nobody sounded like SNFU. Yeah. You know, like SNFU, you hear it, you know, now, and it still sounds like SNFU. Like, yeah. And part of that's Ken's voice, you know, but part of it's the energy and the angst and the style and the quirkiness and,
yeah.
you know, and the lyrics, you know. So all of that stuff made SNFU distinct, and that's one of the bands that I love. Partly because they didn't give a rat's patootie, you know, they just were themselves. And,
yeah.
you know, or, I mean, you know, then you get a band like the Doughboys who are, you know, so much just like this band that should have been just catastrophically big. Like, there's no reason why the Doughboys weren't ginormous. I mean, and yet, you know, the Goo Goo Dolls were, right?
Like, yeah.
Give me the Doughboys over any of that stuff in a heartbeat. You know, they're great musicians, great lyricists. Kastner and all of them were you know, handsome, good-looking guys. You know, there's no reason why they didn't become huge, but they were certainly big enough that they made their mark. And again, what I loved about that band is that they were themselves. Yep. You know, especially when you had the lineup with Bondhead and Cummins and you know, and obviously John, you yeah. know, and Brock, you know, the lineup that toured with all, you
yeah.
know, yeah. that lineup was incredible, and it was a perfect symmetry of who they all were at the time, and they weren't trying to be anybody else. They were just, they had their own sound,
yeah.
and I loved that.
There's such a fine line between playing the game, and we all know what the game is in a way. It's sort of like doing this is what I mean, this could be a part of the game, you know what I mean? You're on a show and you're promoting yourself, but there's that sort of fine line where you have to sort of determine you ethically, what am I going to do? What would I do to you know, at what lengths would people go to become famous? And, you know, I think you kind of were alluding to it a little bit. A lot of people do a lot of crazy things to become famous. And you know, go ahead.
One of the things I've noticed in punk that has been really disturbing is there are some bands that are just, they just don't help out littler bands. And I've always disliked people that don't try and help out others. Mm-hmm. And to the degree they can, but you know, I'm talking about a couple of the biggest of the big. Just, you know, have just they're more into it for themselves and their and you know, the money and whatever, and that's fine, I guess. But I love the bands that help out other bands.
You know? Yeah, yeah, and they're the ones that need more help. I mean, the big bands they don't need help. I mean, they're going to be just fine. it is the smaller yeah. bands that need to be brought up and brought into the forefront. I, you know, what do you think about these days when we're talking about word of mouth versus buzz over the internet? Like, how do you cope with all that?
I don't, brother. I don't. Mm. You know, I just, and that's one of the things that's liberating about, you know, like of age, of maturity, age, whatever. But mm-hmm. I could not care less about any of that stuff for me. I'm just happy if I see a lot of good comments about mm-hmm. an album, you know. And one of the really cool things about this year, 2018, which is about to be over, but is that I was able to put out albums by three different bands in the same year. So there's Don't Sleep, which is, you know, a melodic hardcore band, and really just freaking great players and great guys and ferocious heart in that mm-hmm. band. And then Down by Law put out our first record in, I don't know how many years, 4 years maybe, and it's one of our best records, easily, you know? And that's just being objective. It just is. And, you know, sometimes the spark gets lit and you don't know why. It just was. And then the new record from Dave Smalley and the Bandoleros, which is some friends of mine from Spain, who played with me in Spain in Europe on one of my solo tours, and then I became friends with them. And then they sent me these songs and said, hey, you want to do an album? And I heard the songs, and my jaw hit the floor, and the vocal melodies instantly came into my head. Like, it was one of those instant things. There was no work. Mm-hmm. It was mm-hmm. instant. It was like, okay, this is how I have to sing this. There's no question.
Yeah.
And here's what the words are going to be about. It was really cool to have that happen. And the bottom line of what I'm getting at is, I'm so happy that the word of mouth is great and about those all three albums. Like, people are fans of those bands now, and that's really cool. But I didn't do it because of that, and I didn't hire this and a that, you know. And, you know, I'm talking to you. Mm-hmm. Half of the reason I'm joyous about this is because it's you, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I got the link, and it was like I can't believe how good that record sounds, the Bandoleros. It's like,
thanks.
It's did you go there to record? What was the process?
They sent me the songs from, I want to say they sent me one or two maybe music, but it wasn't sort of the full band. And then they just went and recorded it all. And I want to say they recorded most of it in Cadiz. Mm-hmm. Which is a beautiful old town on the water, and, you know, southern Spain, and it's just gorgeous and historic, and, you know, all these things. And they have the best meatballs that I've ever had in one of the restaurants in Cadiz. But anyway, so they tracked it in Cadiz, and then they just sent it all to me and digitally, and I spent a couple weeks writing vocal melodies and the words, and then I tracked it in Virginia, at a studio here, and then I sent it back out to them, and they mixed it, and it, like, just like when it all came together, it was just a kind of a, you know, holy cow kind of moment.
Well, that's a positive thing about this day and age, is that things like that happen much faster and easier, where we can become a global. A band can live in different parts of the world and still be a band. I mean, that's a positive thing that we're
band. Oh, I think it is. I mean, it's art, right? So art can't be confined to one forum or mm-hmm. one format, rather.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can't just have a band is four guys in a room, because what if it's three guys like the Jam, mm-hmm. or what if it's two guys? I'm trying to think of who two guys are, but anyway, you know what I mean. Like, there could be, or what could be, like 30 guys, like in any ska band or whatever, you know. So, yeah. So art by definition has to take different formats and stretch the boundaries of how you do it. I mean, you shouldn't try to stretch your boundaries, because then you're also following the formula, right? But you shouldn't be afraid to try different things to create. And I think that's certainly what happened here. And those guys are just super shit hot musicians.
Yeah.
And you know, and great guys too. That's the other thing too. I've been really blessed to, you know, like, the guys in Don't Sleep are amazing human beings. You know, the Down by Law guys, of course, are, you know, phenomenal human beings as well as musicians. And then, you know, the Bandoleros are, you know, like my Spanish brothers, you know, so they're the real deal. They're sincere. They're caring, and they're ferocious. And it was a real treat to be able to do that. And I hope people really enjoy that album and discover it. It's only been out a week or two now. So
yeah, that's true. Because you guys formed about a year ago, and from what I gathered, what you flew over there to do some music, and you guys just turned into a band. I mean, that's simple, right?
Yeah. So some of them had been in a band called Gas Drummers, who are a super great band in Spain, who still exists. The singer, well, all of them are friends, but the singer is definitely a friend as well, in particular, Danny. So we played with them, both solo stuff and Down by Law. So I kind of knew them. I did a solo tour, and Marcelo played with me on some of the dates, and Pablo, those are the two guitar players from Bandoleros, and they both played with me on some dates. And then, you know, when you do those kinds of shows, you very quickly bond with someone because it's very intimate, and you're driving together, and you're spending time together. So, we're good friends, and especially now, you know.
Yeah.
So looking forward to maybe doing some shows in 2019.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I did a similar thing with an Italian band. My band couldn't, we were kind of disbanded, and I got offered like two Sum 41 shows. I'm like, to play in Europe. You know, I was like, oh, okay. Cause I used to tour manage them, and I've known them for years. I was kids, and now they offered me like two shows, and I'm to play in front of lots of people and have fun. And but I couldn't afford to bring a whole band over. So I had this band in Italy that I put together real fast and said, okay, I'm going to come and rehearse, and we're going to play these two shows. And it was a very similar moment, but I mean, maybe this rings true, but the most funniest moments is traveling in a vehicle, and they're Italian or Spanish. And you're just sitting there going, okay. You know what I mean? Like, you're trying to decipher what they're saying, and after a couple of hours, you think you know what they're talking about, but they could be saying anything about the weather. But I started making up my own answers about what they were saying. Like, I'd say, no, it's going to be nicer tomorrow. The weather's going to be nicer. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Even though they were talking about, like, you know, something totally different.
Different. Yeah. And we invented what we called Chewbacca moments, because when Chewbacca would go, bah, that meant, like, that was its own language, and there'd be like, the answer would be whatever. So that's what we kind of made that whole, it's like speaking to Chewbacca. Yeah, Chewbacca.
That was actually a very good Chewbacca, by the way.
Thank you. That was by accident too. I didn't even.
that was impressive.
Thank you. So are you going to go over there and play? What's the plan with the new record?
I don't know. You know, I've kind of, you know, Simon, I've kind of reached the point in my life / career where I, you know, it's not like I don't follow what's going on, but I kind of let other people do the organizing now.
Makes sense.
I used to really be involved in almost everything and get kind of, you know, worked up about doing or not doing certain things. I'm a musician, and that's all I do in this capacity. And I'm a singer, and other people have a lot more, you know. The other thing that's, I'll give, here's a free piece of advice for your listeners, which is, don't think that you know how to do everything. You don't. And when somebody is good at something, let them thrive. Like, the real mark of a good leader is somebody who hires good people around him or her, and they let those people flourish and let them do their stuff.
Yeah.
So there's people in, you know, in the Bandoleros and the label that we're on, you know, Little Rockets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great
and
label.
Like, those guys know what they're doing. I don't have to know everything. Just tell me, I want you to play at this festival. All right. Mm-hmm. Cool. What time do I get on the plane? You know what I mean? Like, it's not quite that simple, but almost. Like, I just don't have a lot of you know, I want to play that shows that make sense with friends, bands, if possible, and you know, I want to have a sense of integrity about what we do and how we do it, and I want to sound good.
Yeah,
that's kind of it, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to be the one that engineers the destiny. You'd rather enjoy what people can offer as well as be the focal point and just worry about playing music, because
exactly
that's what you're owed. You know, you're owed that. Like, you are.
Yeah, and I kind of view it like changing the oil in your car, all right? So I could change the oil in my car, and I have, and it's a pain. You get covered with oil, and yeah, it's messy, and it's a, you have to throw away the oil and, you know, clean up and all this stuff. Or I could go to Jiffy Lube, where there are guys who are really good and do it super fast, and that's what they do. That's mm-hmm. their job. They know what they're doing. They can change the oil in 15 minutes or whatever, and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, I could change the oil if I had to, but why, when there's guys who are going to do it better and faster?
Yeah, it's what makes you happy, too. I mean, your life is, it has the time. One thing I realize as I'm getting older is that my life has, there's a certain amount of time I have in life to do things that I like to do, and I need to make time for that. But at the same time, I don't need to do superfluous things just to make sure I'm busy. Does that, you know, does that make sense? Like, I don't need to go out and find extra work. I like it when it comes to me now, rather than me going out and finding work. It's a whole different scenario now that I can be in charge of my destiny and be okay with the fact that relying and trust is a big thing. Like, I mean, you're actually, what you're saying is, I trust people that I work with. And sometimes it's a tough one to get. It's tough. That's a tough bond to build with people, is that type of trust, especially when it's your business.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think to my earlier comment about the goodness of the people that I'm playing with, mm-hmm. the decency and the honesty of the people I'm playing with, and the passion and the ferocity, as well as the musical stuff, the musical talents. But the goodness of all those people does engender trust. Mm-hmm. So I do trust them. Like, I trust Marcelo and all of them, of course, but Marcelo and Javi in the Bandoleros to, you know, talk to the right people and make the right calls and, you know, say, hey, I think we should play this, and can you do it? And you know what I mean? And so I trust them. I trust Sam and Landon, our booking agent, you know, for Down by Law, to say, you should play this. And, you know, and like, you know, we're going to do some shows in Canada in March. Mm-hmm. And as I trust that they did their homework and know who we're playing with, and, you know, that it's all going to be great.
Yeah.
So trust is a factor.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Totally. I thought about this, like, if you think of Bon Jovi, the amount of trust he has for all the people around him, you know, the weird people that are just like the entourage people, that type of trust that he worries about a big picture, you know what I mean? He worries about the biggest picture. But to trust all those people around him, like, we have a smaller circle of people that we trust, but it must be incredibly difficult to have people who kind of want to be along for the ride, as opposed to sort of like, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, that's one good thing about being in a punk band. There's the entourages are considerably smaller. So
they just want to get backstage of what was the Warped Tour. The Warped Tour is no longer anymore, right? It's gone.
Yeah, I played the last Warped Tour. I did a date with Don't Sleep. We played one show.
Yeah. What do you think about all of that with it when it came to like Kevin kind of stopping it and whatever, or keeping? I don't know if he's not even doing Warped Tour stuff, right? Like, is he doing like a local show? Did he, like, I think he's,
I am not sure. I was actually hoping to see him at the Warped Tour date that we did, mm-hmm. with Don't Sleep, but I didn't get to see him. I you know, it's such a huge sprawling thing.
Even, yeah,
at the end it was massive with so many people, so I didn't get to see him, so I haven't actually chatted with him in a while, but look, it was a great tour. It was a great idea. And anybody that gives him grief for succeeding in that should feel ashamed of themselves. It was a great idea. Countless bands got their break through that, and
And to restart. I mean, think of what Green Day came back based on Warped Tour. I mean, like, nobody wanted to, you know, do anything with Green Day until they did Warped Tour. And then they put out Warning, and that became sort of a record. But people were kind of done with Green Day until they went and did the Warped Tour. In my opinion, it's my opinion, right?
Yeah, no, it's a good theory. I don't think I had thought of it that way, but maybe you're right. But yeah, so, and there's tons of bands, like, I don't think Rancid would have become as huge as they did without the Warped Tour. You know, obviously Pennywise was a mainstay, and that helped grow their fan base. But there's a lot of younger bands that kind of broke out through mm-hmm. Warped Tour and got, you know, made kind of a buzz thing. I mean, Blink-182 was, you know, they weren't huge when they did their Warped Tour because we shared a tour bus with them. That's how non-huge they were. We were sharing an actual tour bus with them mm-hmm. down mm-hmm. by Law and Blink-182.
Yeah.
And they were getting huge, and you could tell from their reactions that they were going to be huge. But nonetheless, it was the Warped Tour that helped catapult them.
Yeah. They were good guys, right?
Oh, they're very good guys. Yeah. They're great guys.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
I didn't meet them much. Like, I met Tom very briefly. I met Mark very briefly, and I met Travis very briefly, all in different states, but just good people. I mean, they seem like good people. I don't know why. And you know, like, within the inner circle or the industry, people like who talk, no one ever said anything bad about Blink-182, like, ever. Like,
yeah, they're one of the things that I think people don't know about them probably is that they have very deep and loyal punk rock roots. So, you know, I think there's this sense by some that they were just pop punk huge overnight, but they weren't. They came from very real punk traditions, and they loved All a lot, and they loved Dag Nasty a lot. And mm-hmm. for their sound checks, they would sometimes play the entire Can I Say record for sound check.
Wow.
and many people have told me that. And, you know, Travis has Can I Say on his on his chest tattooed in big letters. And, you know, and Tom told me, I think they were, I forget where they were. It may have been an Angels and Airwaves show that they were playing at 9:30 Club, but I think that's what it was. But anyway, he told me, you know, God, I loved you guys and All so much. I ripped you guys off so bad. Like, you know, and it was just classic, you know, like just laughing, and we were all just chuckling. And but yeah. His point wasn't to say that, of course, he ripped.
Of course, but no, he paid homage. Yeah, absolutely.
His point was that he was inspired by that, and that meant a lot to me. And they're all, Mark's a great guy. Travis, you know, super sweet dude. Even, you know, people who don't know him probably think that he's just always, you know, crazy, but he's actually very, very quiet and shy in some ways. So, you know,
he's they're surprisingly tall too. Like he feels like a mountain compared to if you stand beside him.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't actually, you know, I haven't stood beside him as much as I have the other guys. Cause on our tour together on the Blink tour bus thing that we were just talking about, Warped Tour, it was still Scotty was their drummer.
Oh yeah, and no, so no, not no, not Travis. Tom is.
Oh, Tom is super tall. Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I was thinking.
No, Travis is not that tall. He's about my height.
Tom is super tall. Yeah, yeah, deceptively so.
Yeah. So I mean, so you put a record out, and you're going to tour it. You're going to do stuff, and how do you? So we're going to see you in Toronto. Is that going to be a thing?
I think there's at least an Ontario show.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are you working with Pecan or Paquin, whatever, however people explain it? Is there some
I
sort of?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I'm again getting to the topic earlier. You know, I'm not really sure. But what I can do is, actually,
because they booked the Weaker Dance, they were working with the Weaker Dance, John King Sampson, and all that. That's a very reputable company, by the way. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that might be it. But we're playing with Off by an Inch, mm-hmm. So that's going to be great. And I'm not really sure of the cities or the. I think there's a Montreal.
Is it Puzza Fest? Are you doing the Puzza Fest? If it's in. That's the.
I hope so.
That's our, I guess, North by North. Well, that's our other North by Northeast. That's our.
When is that? Like what?
I thought it was March. Actually, I thought it was in March and in late February, early March. I think. That's
okay. Maybe we are, because yeah. I feel like that's when we're going. So I hope so. if it's good, you know.
This is good advertising. yeah, we're playing for shows. It's gonna be fun.
I'm utter failure at promotion. but that's okay. You can go to, you know, www.downbylaw.com, you know, or, yeah. You know, the Facebook stuff. We'll have all the dates.
Yeah, of course. There's a very, actually, I have to share a nice memory with you that was years ago when I was on tour with SNFU, and I think we might have brought this up in the earlier episode from 3 years ago, but I don't remember. But it's when we were doing a show in San Diego with SNFU, and we had driven all night. It feels like we had driven from St. Louis or something. Like, it's just this long, long, crazy drive to get to San Diego to do a show with Down by Law, Sublime, and SNFU. And it was in a parking lot, and Sublime was headlining, and they just played. They didn't stop. They wouldn't stop. And they just kept playing and playing and playing and playing. And I hadn't seen you in years at that point. Like, it'd probably been since like the second Trigger Happy tour when we crashed our van. But Sublime did this crazy move where there was a Domino's like a trailer where they were giving out pizza, and Sublime jumped behind the counter and started throwing pizza. They robbed the pizza place. Like, just started throwing pizza out to the crowd after they had played. And do you remember any of that? It was a long time ago.
Show. We played a couple with Sublime. Was that the one?
Tony Hawk skateboarded too.
Tony Hawk was skateboarding in the background while Down by Law played. I do remember that because I thought that was really rad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But no, I don't remember the pizza scene, unfortunately. But yeah. But go ahead. How did it end?
Well, it ended by Sublime throwing pizza out to everybody. And of course, everybody's like, free pizza. And they basically kind of muscled their way into just kept on playing, and then they ended up like just sort of, it was one of these moments where I was like, this is not a real, like, I mean, Sublime is as punk as it gets now. This is, in my opinion, it reinstated the fact that, I mean, punk was not just music at that point, you know what I mean? It was definitely lifestyle. You know what I mean? And yeah, that was a bit of a sad story at the end of it all with those guys, but I mean, they're still playing, I guess, you know, but that was a real special moment for me because I was like 23, 24 years old watching for the first time, like all these, you know what I mean? Like in a different country and stuff. It was a very special moment to me. So I figured
that's cool. Yeah. That's great. Well, yeah, I kind of agree with you. I do agree with you about Sublime. Again, kind of to our earlier point that, you know, doing what you do and being who you are is way better than trying to be somebody else. And, you know, Sublime by far themselves, you know, like there's nobody else that, you know, kind of mixes that blend of like hardcore with reggae, with, you know, the soulfulness of Brad. And, you know, that was just a very unique creation.
Yeah. And not a nice ending to that story. I mean, that's the other sort of the problem with sort of being true to yourself is that you start, if you are not the person that has sort of sensibilities with, you know, willpower and things that it can really bite you on the ass, is, you know what I mean? As that's a classic tale, you know, like rock and roll.
It is.
Yeah.
It is unfortunate. And it's so interesting how some people, you know, leave us early due to that, and other people, you know, you think of like Lemmy, for instance. Now, I don't think he did a ton of drugs as much as he drank, you know, but you know, like Lemmy drank to the point that most people should have been dead, you know, and Lemmy lived to a fairly decent age.
Yeah. Marlboro Reds every day.
Marlboro Reds and whiskey straight, you know, and like, you know, that's an amazing way to live, and he pulled it off. So, yeah. But then other people, you know, then you get like, this is getting way back, but back in the day, the Celtics hired signed a kid named Lenny Bias, and he was a young kid coming out of school, and he was the next big thing. He was going to be the next, you know, Magic, next Bird, the next, you know, Jordan, whatever. And so Lenny Bias, you know, did one line of coke at a party and dropped dead. You know, perfect physical body. You know, like he was in his, you know, perfect shape, and just, you know. So it is interesting how mortality works, and sometimes death touches you on the shoulder unexpectedly, and sometimes death just seems to just be far away, you know.
Yeah.
And, which is lucky for those if that happens.
Yeah. So everything's good with you, though. Life, health, happy, everything's.
You know, knock on wood, I'm still here. I still make music for people who want to celebrate life and independence, and I'm you know, definitely have had a couple health things here and there, but you know, I just try to keep on, you know, pedal to the metal, and you know, that's the other thing too, right? You don't know how long you have. So, man, I want the pedal to the metal, because I don't know how long I'm going to have the car.
Yeah.
You know, so I want to accelerate on the highway, because I could either run out of gas or crash at any time.
Yeah.
And so I want to explore it as long as I can.
No, I'm with you. I mean, like, if you just keep on keeping on with what you're doing with reason. I mean, like, for me, I had some health scares too back a couple of years ago, but it was one of those moments where, like, yeah, I'm gonna pull this shit together. You know what I mean? Like, so the unfortunate part was that I had it, but the fortunate part is it happened when I was in my early 40s, so I could actually make a difference, you know, or change what my lifestyle was.
Right.
And that was not a lot of people had that, because had I been 65 or, you know, 75, I would have been dead. You know what I mean? And that's okay too. I mean, that's totally fine. But yeah, I started changing how my perspective of, you know, I have children and I have a home and I don't want to let people down, and I want to try to, you know what I mean, stick around as long as possible.
No, that is true. You know, and being a father is for sure the most important thing in my life that I love, and you know, so I have definitely tried to, I've done that in terms of how much I've cut back on touring, mm-hmm. you know, how, because I wanted to spend more time with my children when they were littler, and that had probably a huge impact on Down by Law's career path, but I wouldn't change a single minute of it, you know.
I'm with you on that. And,
and because my kids are the most important thing, that's just, you know, that's like nothing else is even in the picture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it does make you realize you have responsibilities, and so you do things to meet those responsibilities, you know?
Yeah. So. My kid's going to be driving next year. A car.
I know, that's terrifying, but what's even more terrifying is when you have two daughters who are now college graduates.
Wow.
So that's really terrifying.
Yeah. They're,
you know, sobering or whatever the word is.
I have a 12-year-old girl, too. So, she's at the point now where I'm about a year away from being persona non grata. So, as a parent.
Hey, I know that probably will happen, but it doesn't have to. You know, both my boys are teenagers, and they are, you know, my best friends and great guys.
Yeah.
So, and you know, good young men.
Yeah,
so,
it's interesting how when you as a parent, You see sort of traits of children and your children of you and of yourself and who you are, and some of it is like, oh, this is Crowley, he's just like me, and some is like, oh shit, he's just like me. It's like it's frightening.
Yeah.
But my daughter, the thing I did, and I have two kids, and I took my daughter to Disneyland, and I'd never been there before, and I took her there. And it was one of those moments where we're flying on a plane and she's 11 at the time. And I said, you know, in a couple of years, we're probably not going to be like best friends. So I want to make sure you remember this moment that we flew on a plane. So I you know, I play it occasionally up as a joke. You know, can I have a coffee? No, I'm not getting you coffee. I took you to another country. And so that's my...
Build up your bonus points now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
While you've still got them. Yeah.
How many kids you have?
I have five.
Five kids.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of kooky.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Here's that's
Hello
Griffin.
There.
Hey, how are you?
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Coulter's going to bed, and I was in his room because he was watching TV, and I knew the TV sound would transfer through the audio. So,
yeah.
So we're doing like a rotating thing.
Well, hey, I want to thank you for taking the time, and the record's great, and I'll play a song on it if I could, and you've done good work.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. You too. And like I say, I know we're going to be in Canada in March with Down by Law, and you know, these Down by Law songs are just they're so beautiful, and the Bandolero songs are so exciting. So I'm just really blessed and happy and mm-hmm. about things, and so I hope that you're able to make it out to some of the shows.
Cool, man. Thanks again. Yeah.
All right, brother. Thanks for having me.
And that was Mr. Dave Smalley of Down by Law, the new band, Bandoleros. Also, all sorts of bands. And he's been around for a long time. He's one of I respect him the most out of a lot of the people that I've toured with. We didn't really get to it, but they were the first band to take me and the band I played in on tour. And we learned a lot from Dave, and we learned a lot from those guys Down by Law in the early 90s, and it was great to have a nice conversation again with an old friend. So everybody, thanks so much for supporting the show. Thanks a lot for going on Amazon so you can help the show out. You can go to apolog.ca/Amazon or apolog.ca/EOSAmazon shop and support the show. Cost you no much money. Yeah, it's been great. It's been a great year. I'm going to take next week off, I think, because I'm going away. I'm going on a little holiday. I'll be back, and then I'm going to be coming back. I got an episode in the can ready to go. And then I'm going to do the greatest hits, the best of 2018. And I haven't got myself a co-host yet for that. But if you want to do it, if you want to be on the show, absolutely. If you're listening to the show and you want to be a co-host on the greatest quotes of 2018, get in touch with me, apolog.ca/contact, and you can be on the show. It's really that simple. Okay? So everybody, have a great holiday, great Christmas, great whatever you celebrate. Enjoy it, and be safe, and have a great time doing what you do. Okay. Bye now.